Hello and welcome to Core Women. My name is Dr. Summer Watson, and I'm the founder of Core Women, and I'm also an empowerment strategist for women. So if you are listening to this podcast to delve more into empowerment strategies, well, you're here for the right reason. However, Core Women was also developed because it's a special place that provides a unique idea for the hearts and souls of women. It's a place for us to share our strength, energy, wisdom, and authenticity. It's a place for women to find support and find strategic empowerment ideas that will help support our lives. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome Michelle Lyles. She is a professional wedding and wildlife photographer. She has an undergraduate degree in political science and an MBA with an emphasis in marketing. She has traveled the world and is going to have an exhibit September 7th in Santa Cruz, California. Let's get right into talking to her about her journey. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Dr. Summer. Thank you so much for having me, and I have so much respect for what you are doing with this program, and it's truly an honor and privilege to be part of this today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, and thank you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey, how you've become, you know, this amazing photographer, and then at the end of our conversation, I want to hear more about your exhibit, which is September 7th in Santa Cruz. So why don't you tell us about your travels, how you got into photography, where that began?
Okay, thank you so much, and I appreciate your kind words. My first journey was in 2005, and I had always dreamed of heading to Africa. It had always been a dream of mine, and I was, you know, in the corporate world at that time, I was actually in magazine publishing. So, but I'd always had this dream. So, figured out a way to get myself over to East Africa and ended up on a wildlife photography tour where, you know, you go out in the safari vehicle with your photographic gear, which was borrowed. I didn't have my own gear at that time. So, Canon had a program where you could borrow the gear, and we had some great guides and saw, you know, I saw my first lion in, you know, out free roaming.
And, how was that? So
I'm gonna
break in here, but how was that experience? Was that
amazing,
scary?
Okay. I burst into tears. You know, I've always loved cats, and, you know, I've always had my smaller version at home, and, of course, I've seen them in captivity, because, you know, we do have some wonderful, kind zoos out there, but to see them, you know, out free roaming in their natural environment and just their majestic beauty. So I was just kind of immediately hooked in seeing these animals and knowing that many of them were in a bit of peril. And so seeing, you know, especially, I love, gosh, everything from, you know, the raptors to the wildebeest to obviously the big cats are incredibly sexy, you know, to see them in the wild and beautiful. And the funny thing for those of us who have animals, dogs, cats at home, you know, their bigger cousins out in the wild kind of have the same behaviors, you know. So,
really?
You know, if you have cats at home, these cats in the wild are going to sleep a lot. So I guess quickly you learn as a wildlife photographer, you have to have a lot of patience because you're often sitting with this cat waiting for he or she, you know, hours and hours until they hunt, which is often dusk or dawn. So kind of was hooked at that point. And after that trip, which was Kenya and Tanzania, and I went to a couple of areas, Serengeti, which most people have heard of, which is really known for cheetah. So got to see cheetahs on the hunt and just incredible things like that. And also we went to this amazing crater that's called Ngorongoro Crater.
Okay.
That you kind of drive down in there. So it's a smaller area, very dense with animals. Saw my first rhino there, which was incredible. And they are these prehistoric looking creatures. And I would say the same for elephants too, that you know, they really have, everything is just bigger there. So you think to yourself, what happened here? you know, and I'm sure our paleontology friends, you know, could give us more perspective, but to see them in their environment is absolutely incredible. So that's when I kind of caught the bug, which was about 13 years ago. And, you know, it just kind of blossomed from there, Dr. Summer. I began to just find ways to be out in the wild as much as I can. And, you know, it is a field that I would consider fairly male-dominated, perhaps because of, you know, being out in the elements like that and then the weight and size of your equipment. So quickly, I just didn't care and wanted
right.
to kind of be the female out there. So
good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
so
yes,
my next
absolutely.
Trip wasn't so far. I ended up in Alaska to a spot that is close to my heart called Katmai, where you see quite a few grizzly bears, and you can get pretty close. They're extremely habituated to humans.
Okay.
And they have a good food source there, as it's they have a great salmon source there. So that was kind of my second trip, and I think that's when I pawned my life and bought my equipment. And, you know, slowly but surely you just begin to accumulate. You can't get it all at once, but that's kind of where that started. And, you know, there's so many great places in our country, too, that you can go to, including Alaska. So, yeah, that was kind of, you know, how it all got started.
Okay. Well, that's an amazing, you know, journey, you know, thus far. Now, I'm going to take you back a little bit because
sure.
knowing some of your history, you, like you said, you were in the business world. You know, you had
yeah.
done some marketing and you had done some magazines and,
yeah.
you know, some equestrian stuff, right? So
yeah, you're
you,
yeah, absolutely right.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about that? Because I think, you know, with that history, you also started some photography there as well. You know, you were being photographed as well as photographing others at that point, right?
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Is so my first publishing gig was I published a magazine called Broker Agent Magazine that was focused on the real estate market in Las Vegas. And,
okay.
You know, that was at the time, you know, the gravy train and
right.
everything was going really well. And then
right.
The market kind of crashed here. And so I thought to myself, you know, it's probably time to find another alternative because suddenly our housing market, I think, was the worst in the nation, as I remember it.
Wow, really?
So, yeah, I decided to look for something that combined my love of photography and also the equestrian world, horses. And so I decided to start, it was called Southern Nevada Equestrian. And,
right, okay.
So it was really great, Dr. Summer, because I was able to combine photography with, I love to write as well. So,
okay.
you know, I would do photography and articles, and I'd have great contributors, you know, from all around the world doing all kinds of different disciplines. So, yeah, that was really great. And all along the way, I guess you could say, having my own business afforded me the opportunity to be able to go take some trips, you know, as I was building my wildlife portfolio, you know, at different places around the globe.
Right.
That kind of enabled me to do that. So that was what was really nice about that project.
Well, and that is fantastic because that's something that maybe a lot of women want to do, but they don't know how to do in regards to,
yeah.
like, starting their own business. And
mm-hmm.
and it does take some, you know, it does take some imagination, and it does take a lot of work to start your own business because it's a little scary sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
We know
because
that.
you're taking some chances, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, as somebody who has a degree, a business degree, what would be
yeah.
like a piece of wisdom you might give somebody trying to start their own business? What are a couple of the things that you found were of importance, you know, in starting a new venture like that, So what would you say?
Sure. Love that. Those are like great questions. And the one thing I'd say is make sure it's something you love. You know,
right.
It's a category that you love because you're going to be immersed in it, you know, kind of day and night and living it as a lifestyle. So it, I
Correct.
Think it has to be something that, you know, inspires you and, you know, really makes you happy. So, you know, it was funny, good old Facebook, when I had incepted my magazine and was getting started and, you know, kind of just getting the premier issue put together, you know, I would get so much inspiration on seeing other people, what they were doing with their horses, their journey, breeds, you know, what was going on around the world, and also, you know, the way to network, which helped me right off the bat get some advertisers for the publication. And so I guess what I'd say is, you know, utilize any free networks you can, you know,
right.
because they're always great. But yeah, just definitely make sure, you know, it's something that you're really passionate about, because otherwise you'll burn out. You know,
right.
I think you could. It would be easy to burn out on it. So,
right.
You know, that's what I would say about that. Primarily, just make sure you're really passionate for the cause.
Right, and I fully agree, because I really, you know, just by experience and starting a few businesses, you know, I found over time that's, you know, that I didn't necessarily burn out, but you got to have a passion for
mm-hmm.
what you're,
sure.
you're going to do and a plan. You know, so a strategic plan about, hey, I'm going to start this, and this is the way, these are my objectives to, you know, to starting this. So, mm-hmm. So anyway, it's like, you know, starting that, having some objectives, and then
mm-hmm.
this will lead to your goals. So,
yeah.
You know, with all that said, okay, let's get back into, you know, your amazing trips and your findings.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, you've been to Brazil, Namibia, Botswana, mm-hmm. you know, Zambia, Kenya, all these amazing places. I know that you said, you know, we talked a little before the interview about, you know, what some of your findings were and regarding some of these big cats. So why don't
mm-hmm.
you tell us a little bit about, you know, what your thoughts are and how many are left and, you know, and what the difficulties are for these animals in their natural habitat.
Sure. That's such a great question, Summer. And I think the deeper that you get into wildlife photography, you start to realize, you know, that a lot of our species are in peril in many parts of the world. You know, feeling so privileged to have photographed rhinos on a number of occasions, you know, they're in serious peril down in southern Africa as they are being poached for their horns, which in some cultures it's believed, you know, that the horn, properties of the horn, you know, makes you as a healing property. So
right.
unfortunately, in some countries, such as Mozambique, you know, there's kind of a shoot-to-kill, you know, mandate against the poachers. So I feel like with my photos that, you know, this could be, you know, the last bastion into the next couple generations. But I don't want it to be that way
right.
for all of our kids that we love out there. But, for example, tigers, which I had the great privilege and opportunity to photograph a couple of years ago, in India, there's only 3,000 left, you know, living
wow.
in the wild. And,
mm.
you know, very quickly diminishing at rapid rates. And I guess I feel, as colleagues of mine, that, you know, now's the time to, number one, get these photos, get the information out there, teach the kids that, you know, these are precious, precious commodity on our planet. So, you know, especially with certain species of the big cats, I definitely have a great love for them. I was able to photograph jaguars in Brazil a couple of times, which are just gorgeous cats.
Oh,
and
my word.
They're all quickly disappearing from that region as well. But, you know, still trackable with a lot of work and a good guide.
Right.
you can find them. So certainly I must say that, you know, none of this I've done on my own. You know, I've had to have a great support network of guides and coaches, and, you know, and obviously, as with anything, you get better and better over time. You know, one great privilege to work with a female guide, Summer, was in Rwanda.
Okay.
We went in quest of mountain gorillas, which are absolutely incredible and also endangered, unfortunately. Although I must say they're doing a great job up there, but we had a female guide, which is very unusual, and she was spectacular. So you have these opportunities, you know, to work with people who are very connected with the animals, who have a great passion, who are not manipulating them, you know, for personal gain or, you know, and that's always what I try to look for when I'm seeking out, you know, my photography. But, those have all been, like, really, really nice opportunities, especially with the very scarce creatures. And one other one that I just had, gosh, it was a little over a year ago, there is a creature called an African lynx.
Okay.
So it's a small cat, and this poor cat, you feel for it because, okay, it's a cat, so it has a lot of predators, including larger cats. So cats like lions and leopard and cheetah actually hunt it. So not only does it have to hunt, it's being hunted, but it was it's very, very rare to spot them, and we were lucky enough we were in Eastern Africa to spot this cat and photograph it. And so that was a real something very, very special for me in the last couple years.
That sounds amazing. And yes, you bring up some valid points there. You know, it's being hunted. And it's prey, you know, it's trying to survive, and there are all these beautiful cats. So, you know, one of the things is, you know, as a photographer as well, because you had mentioned earlier that you have to have patience because a lot of the hunting goes on at dusk and dawn. Is that correct? Is that okay? And so, my question to you is, like, for a cat such as a smaller cat, do they hunt at the same time because they know the larger cats are, you know, hunting at these other times? Are they in hiding? Just the whole idea of, you know, the process in which you find out about how they live their lives and how they survive and how they, you know, interact with one another. I'm sure you've learned so much.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the great things about it. I mean, I'd say, as with most cats, I would call them opportunists.
Okay.
Meaning, you know, for their own survival, they're looking for any opportunities they can. What's interesting about cats are one thing, so some species are solitary and others, you know, work as a group, like such as a pride of lions,
right,
which is always really fascinating to watch. I've had the opportunity to see a couple of kills. It's not always easy.
Right.
But how they work together in sort of a coalition to take down their prey, whereas other cats such as a jaguar, a leopard, certainly these caracal that we saw, the African lynx, they're solitary. So they're kind of out on their own, which you know, certainly leaves them a bit more vulnerable.
Exactly.
You know, whereas with the lions, you know, as it's been explained to me, they are tough. I mean, they have a tough life, but I've heard that it takes, this is what I've heard, is it would take 5 hyena to take down a female, an adult female lion, and 12 or more to take down a male.
Wow.
So, never had the chance to quite see that. You know, they're tough creatures, no doubt. So to watch them and their habitat surviving, you know, they can't exactly run down to Albertsons to grab their package.
Their snack or
steak there. Yeah. So that part of it's really fun. And I also love another creature that's so lovely to watch and where the females really have kind of a special thing that they do with their babies are elephants and watching – you know, they'll all kind of take care of each other's babies and watching them as a group is so much fun, and they're really highly intelligent creatures. So that's always been something that I've enjoyed watching. And they live a long time. You know, they have lifespans similar to ours. So they're they're around for a long time, which is really neat.
And that is fantastic, you know, and that goes to speak to, you know, the poaching and the hunting and the ivory, you know, and what's happening there. And like, how is that being, you know, how is that being, what is that looked, how is that looked upon, or how is that, you know, or how are people dissuaded from doing that, or, you know, in certain areas, you know?
It's a tough issue, Dr. Summer. They're kind of failing, and the reason is they have this huge land area that they're trying to protect, and it's very hard to do that. And I mean, unfortunately, so hunting, you know, is definitely a way that they make money down there. Now, certainly, I'm not against like a regulated, you know, in a hunting camp. You know, if it's not an endangered species, I personally don't have a problem with that. Others might, but I personally don't. But it seems like you might remember a number of years ago the controversy about that lion Cecil.
I don't know if you remember this.
Baited out of the park.
Yes.
Serious poaching. Unfortunately, taken down by one of our American colleagues who is a hunter. A gentleman out of Texas. And but that's the kind of thing, unfortunately, it's just there is such a big land area and they're having trouble regulating it. So when something like that happens, now Cecil was like the most beautiful, big, gorgeous male lion.
Absolutely. That was a huge story.
That was a big deal. So it diminishes the species. So then what happens is Cecil and all of Cecil's young are then compromised or killed by other males. So then suddenly the next leader of the pride is a smaller male, right? So because Cecil was the biggest. So it ultimately diminishes the species over time. So that's the kind of stuff, Summer. You know, I do see, sort of maybe more of an awareness of the locals in these countries down in southern Africa where they're seeing tourism and wildlife photography. We're clicking a shutter, not a gun, so we're clicking something, but as a viable way for economy for their families, you know, so like when you go down and stay in a camp and someone's cousin works there or brother or sister or auntie, you know, that is suddenly helping, you know, their local economy.
Right.
And certainly you don't want to be ethnocentric and not look at it where, hey, they have to have their way to survive. And they,
livelihood,
you know,
right.
Yeah, and they have to have their culture. But, you know, it's still really bad. When we were in Zambia, we were in a park called Lua Plains. It was kind of a dream come true, to be honest. We were doing a three-week camping trip through Zambia. And so we had kind of gone for this wildebeest migration, which we didn't really happen for us, but that's okay. We saw wildebeest, but they weren't really migrating. We did see a lot of cats. We had quite a few cheetah sightings, cheetah moms with cubs and hunting. But there's a real sad story out of Lua Plains. You know, and I don't want to like make us all sad here, but they're...
No, let's hear what you had to say. And every experience is interesting, you know. So, please go on.
Sure, Summer. Thank you. So there was one solitary female left in Lua Plains as of a few years ago. They called her Lady Lua. So she was the only remaining lion in this national park, Lua Plains. And she was so lonely that she would saunter over to people's campsites and lay down because she was so lonely. So they did transplant like five other lions there to live with her.
Right.
You know, to kind of coexist. And apparently it's going very well.
Oh, good.
We did not see any lions when we were there, unfortunately. But you can kind of tell that in this particular country, there has been a lot of unregulated poaching, you know, almost into oblivion. But there's still a lot of great places. I mean, my experiences in Botswana have been extremely abundant of wildlife. Masai Mara, you know, in Eastern Africa. There's a great park in South Africa called Kruger National Park.
Okay.
It's a great park, by the way, for your listeners. You can self-drive. You don't have to be on a tour.
Oh, okay.
And anyone can contact me, too, if they want ideas of, you know, how to do it. But, they do drive on the other side of the road. So it can be a little tricky. But hey, some of us have done that before. So
We both have.
Yeah. There's still a lot of hope out there. And I think it's slowly changing. You know, the question will be, is it in time? So I feel like the photos could be, you know, a memento of the future. So that's why I have felt it so important. I've kind of changed my life a whole bunch to do this, to be able to go out and do these trips and, living more modestly.
Right. Okay, and that's where I was going to go is how, you know, give us a couple of ways how you changed your life to kind of live a dream.
Sure. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you. And it's something, you know, it hasn't been easy. So I had a home, a three-bedroom home. I've rented it out.
Right.
And I'm living in a smaller condo. I did that, you know, part and parcel to, you know, be able to follow this dream. And I drive like an older car and things like that and just try to watch it a bit so that I can do it. And I do make money with the shutter as well, which is, you know, my wedding photography. So I just try to work as hard as I can during the summer.
Try
to do wildlife and, you know, the other months and whenever I can.
I was going to get to that as well, you know, so that you do photography, wedding photography. So if somebody wanted to connect with you, how might they go about, I know you have a website, so they would connect with you via your website at www.michellewildsphotography.com. Is that correct?
That's great, Summer. Yeah, I call that my other kind of wildlife, the wedding.
Okay.
Another kind of wildlife, of course. No, it's a lot of fun. But, you know, people in love are always a lot of fun. But, yes, they can reach me. There's a way to contact me via that website, and I've had plenty of success being contacted that way. So certainly it's my pleasure. Or if anyone has any questions or is considering – you know, safari or wants ideas, you know, I've gone a lot of places to do these things. So it'd be my pleasure to answer any questions that anyone might have or get ideas. But I'd have to say, you know, if it's something you're interested in, do it soon. I wouldn't wait too long because every day the bush is changing a little bit, you know, and the makeup of the animals and how they're coexisting and their numbers. Sooner is better than later if it's something.
Right.
But at the same time, you can get a great experience, you know, looking at people's photos. There's some incredible wildlife programs on, you know, that we all drool over, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Planet Earth. But planet Earth is, like, unparalleled. So,
Well, some of, you know, the pictures that I've seen thus far that you have displayed either online via Facebook or Instagram or, you know, whatever medium that I've seen them on, they are phenomenal. So if somebody were to wanted to see some of your work, you know, I know that you're going to have an exhibit in Santa Cruz, California on September 7th. However, I want to go back to where would they see some more of your pictures? And where is it the best way to contact you? Through, you know, your contact page on your website, or is there another way as well that you'd like to offer? But you tell me, because honestly, you have some phenomenal pictures, and I think you have amazing wisdom to impart somebody who might want to go on a similar journey or is inspired by the journey that you've taken.
Oh, Summer, that's so kind, and, you know, it's nice when you kind of see what's been fun about putting this exhibit together, and I just have to thank the Owl family who's letting me do this at the University Business Park on September 7th. They have been incredible promoting these First Fridays and have renovated this incredible building that was formerly a Wrigley gum plant, which is so funny,
right,
but have turned it into this gorgeous, lofty space that I've watched over the years just burgeon into this, you know, there's biotech and bicycle companies and
right,
climbing and just, and all kinds of beautiful art installation, and there's like a
yes,
vintage motorcycle collection. So I'm so grateful for that, and it's given me a reason to compile the work, you know, that was kind of, so I'm grateful for the exhibit because it sort of made me round it up a little bit.
Right.
But, they can, your listeners can see my photos on the MichelleLylesPhotography.com website. There's a couple of different sections. One is weddings, one is wildlife. So that's one way. I'm also on Instagram at it's long lens for you to view too.
And that's the number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, I've begun, I'm a little late to the prom on Instagram, but I'm trying to get more going there. And then also on my Facebook page, I don't have one dedicated to simply to the wildlife, but on my personal page, so sorry to have to sift through some personal photos, but you can look in the albums of Brazil and India. So that is Michelle Lyles, and I think if you do Michelle Lyles Las Vegas,
right,
I would come up and you'll see a girl with a camera. So that's probably me.
Right. Well, so, you know, thank you, Michelle, because your photographs are phenomenal. And again, she's a wedding photographer. So if you're looking for somebody to do your photography at your wedding, you know, she can do an amazing job there as well. So, I kind of want to touch on, you know, where the exhibit is, excuse me. And it's in Santa Cruz, California on the September 7th. And it's funny that you mentioned, you know, the development and the progress of that building, because I actually used to live on the west side right across from it off Grandview Drive in Santa Cruz. And that was years ago as I was growing up when we were going to high school together. So for you listeners, Michelle and I went to high school together. So, so I actually grew up there and I saw, you know, how that area has changed so much, and the Owls have done a spectacular job.
They renovated
that building, and, you know, just watching it go from, you know, from a field to, you know, these old buildings to now what it is has blossomed into, and watching technology, you know, develop over there and watching, you know, what they've done with that building. It's amazing. So, you know, it's an amazing place to go, Santa Cruz. You know, it's an amazing place for an exhibit. And that area on the west side is phenomenal. So, you know, if my listeners, if you get a chance to, how long is this running? Is it just the day, or is it, how long does it last?
Well, that's such an amazing question, because we are installing it for the first Friday of September,
okay,
which is September 7th, and William and Erica have graciously offered to. Our plan is to leave it up for a year, leading into the open studios for the next year,
which
will be October of 2019.
Okay.
So that's kind of our plan at this point in time. So if your listeners couldn't necessarily get there that Friday, you know, the building is also always open, you know, to the public. Where the exhibit is may sometimes be locked, but I'm sure we could make arrangements for someone to see it. They could contact me privately if they wanted to get in there and see it. So it'll be on some walls of a beautiful kind of lofty office space. So it's really such a privilege to do it, and I'm so enjoying the process of, you know, selecting the images and printing and trying to figure out, you know, how to cluster them together has been a lot of fun. So, you know, it's a little bit tick-tock now on the clock, but, but we're getting there. There's a little bit left. So
you basically are curating your own show. Is that correct? So you're...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, not only is she a photographer, not only because she had has this amazing marketing experience, but she's also curating, you know, her show. And,
oh.
And what you know, what great experience. So, you know, Michelle, I want to thank you for being on my show today and, you know, allowing us to hear your journey. So, you know, thank you again. And now we're going to go into closing. So if there's one last thing you'd like to say to our listeners, what might be that one piece of wisdom you might want to offer?
Well, listen, just whatever your form of art is, whether it's photography, photography with your iPhone, photography with your eye, you know, just do it, enjoy it. You know, don't be intimidated. You know, it's funny in your art form. You know, I know people, so many more people that I consider talented than myself, but I just decided to go for it.
Right.
And, you know, just do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what people are going to say, because people always have commentary. But, you know, for the most part, if you're passionate about it, such as like what you're doing here with CORE, you're going to convey that, and people will, you know, it's infectious. So I just say, go for it. And, you know, you have iPhones too, people. I mean, like, you know, you can get great pictures with those. So, just do it. And, you know, seeing the world through a beautiful lens is always a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. And that, I have one last question for you based on that, because I take a lot of pictures with my iPhone and I absolutely love taking some pictures. So,
great.
Do you ever teach classes?
You know, I haven't really done that, Summer, but you never know, you know, down the road, it might be a possibility. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was just a thought, because I thought, you know, I see your photography and I think, hey, yeah, that might be something you might venture into later on. But, you know, thank you so much again. I just feel it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. I am, you know, I hope my listeners get an opportunity to listen to this, because there's so much rich information here, so much that they can learn, you know. So if you have a dream, start now, you know, start getting on that dream so that you can feel, you know, be filled with the passion that Michelle is, that I have about CORE Women. Mm-hmm. So if you need a strategic empowerment coach, contact me. If you want to tell your story of empowerment or how you have reconstructed your life to drive change, send me a video or an email of your story, providing permission to use it on my social media platforms. If you want to be featured on my podcast, reach out to me at info@corewomen.com. I want to hear from you and get to know you. You are now part of the CORE Women home. Let's get to know each other. Let's learn from one another. Please follow CORE Women on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please let your friends know about this podcast. If you write about CORE Women in your social media posts, please hashtag CORE Women. This is all about women. If you'd like to know more about Michelle, please go to her website at www.michellelylesphotography.com and follow her on Instagram. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about CORE Women, and please stay tuned for continued growth of the CORE Women movement. Let's grow and drive change together. Mm-hmm.